Right now, it's time to bring in our good friend Brian Ross. It's time for Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. We're joined by Brian. We take a look at headline stories and other stories throughout the country and the world. Good morning, Brian.
And good morning to you, Marshall.
Well, out of a sleep last night, I woke up at about, I guess it was 3 o'clock in the morning to do what 68-year-old men have to do in the middle of the night. And I always put on the TV to get some light from my bedroom. And what did I see come up on my TV screen last night? And that was the Texas abortion law has been temporarily blocked by a judge. Now, I have to say I was half asleep, but if this is true, it's an interesting step. I don't know how important of a step it will be.
Well, it's a step that shows that this is a reaction to the efforts by the U.S. Department of Justice to block that law as unconstitutional. So at the moment, it's a temporary hold on it, although it's still there and still is sort of a chilling effect on anyone trying to do an abortion under the terms of that law. I guess anything after 6 weeks of conception is how it stands, anything with a heartbeat. But yes, it's a step, and it's an indication that the U.S. Justice Department is going to fight it. The Texas governor's already said he's going to appeal, so the legal battle is on.
Well, I'm looking at his history, and I'm trying to see who appointed him. He was the former United States Attorney for the Western District of Texas, but he got into office in 2014, and he was appointed by Barack Obama. So obviously, there's going to be a myriad of court cases coming out of Texas. They've already said they're going to appeal.
Yes, and it's a battle. The authors of that bill thought they had found a way to get around any constitutional issues, and the Department of Justice says not so fast. This is illegal, and it flies in the face of the Roe v. Wade decision. The court now is back in session for this year and next, and certainly on the agenda is the question of whether Roe v. Wade will stand other challenges pending before the court.
All right. From that point, let's move on to Mitch McConnell, who has made quite a name for himself over the past, let's say, 14, 16 years. He is floating a debt ceiling proposal that I don't know. I don't know if the Democrats are going to have to water this down a little bit.
Well, yes, but he blinked. He blinked. And they're still working out the details, but I think the crisis of the October 18th deadline has passed. But the can really has been kicked down the road. But I think early this morning, the Democrats are seeing that he blinked. It makes it easier now to get through the two infrastructure bills and then turn to the debt ceiling and see what they can do about that by December. Everyone was saying it was catastrophic, and from what I'm seeing, McConnell realized that what he was doing really was putting pressure on the Democrats to finally get rid of the filibuster on this kind of issue, that they had no other alternative. And he became alarmed that if they did that, it could be a slow creep. His power only comes from the fact that they have this filibuster rule. Yeah. Other than that, the minority leader has no power.
And I guess I wouldn't mind a filibuster rule if you actually had a filibuster. If you had to actually stand up and
right.
speak for 40 or 50 hours, but you don't. You just have to say, filibuster, that's it.
The speaking part, as we saw, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, yeah. That famous Jimmy Stewart movie, where you have to speak for hours and hours. That came into it. The filibuster rule, I was doing a little research on this, started in 1806. It's Rule 22 of the Senate. It's been amended a couple of times. But it no longer requires senators, as you say, to stand up and speak through the night, read the Bible, read the phone book. They did all kinds of things to keep talking, to delay. And it took a two-thirds vote or 60 votes to end the speaking part. Well, now they just have to say they're going to do it. They don't have to speak. One of the reforms, at least, suggests if they can't end the filibuster is require them to come and speak, see if they actually are good for their word.
It's interesting. That would be like if I was in high school, if I showed up for a big test and I just showed up and I said, okay, I passed, I can leave now. No, really. I mean, it's if you're going to have the filibuster rule, have the full filibuster rule, or change it. So once again, it makes it mandatory that you stand up, and you put your medal up against it to stop something, not just raise your hand.
Exactly. I mean, it's really going to be a filibuster. Let's have the filibuster. I think they decided that was also a waste of time. And frankly, as we look at what's happening, you know, the filibuster sort of guarantee that Congress is seen as a do-nothing body that can't really find the middle ground. I don't think it helps the debate at all. But, you know, the traditionalists in the Senate love it. Our own senators, Blumenthal and Murphy, are opposed to it. Richard Blumenthal was telling me, when he first got there, he thought it was a good idea, but changed his mind pretty quickly. So it's really, it allows the minority to just obstruct to a level, you know. A majority doesn't rule anymore. It takes 60 votes to win, which is frankly, is crazy.
All right. I have to ask you about this next story because this is something that I'm sure interests you, and that is the criminal that's been on the run for 23 years. And U.S. Marshals say they spotted him, they think, at a Dodgers game. He was sitting behind home plate. And I guess somebody saw the man, and he's one of the most wanted fugitives. He's been on the run for 23 years. His name is John, I think it's Ruffio, but have you followed this story?
I have. I know a little bit. I know some people working on that story, and it was a relative of his who was watching baseball and said, I think that's him. And in fact, they're pretty sure it was, which is fascinating. And so the U.S. Marshals, they'd been all over the world with tips on him, and the most recent sightings, I think, were in Italy. But yes, that's there he was, and I've seen the blow up of the picture. It looks remarkably like him.
Well, the interesting thing about it is that it's amazing. Unless he got out of town real quick on a plane, it's amazing how a human being, after being on the run for 23 years, and he stole, by the way, about $13 million are still not recovered from that theft. I'm sure he could have the biggest home screen HDTV in the world to watch the game. That's the thing that I don't understand about it. You know, it's not like it's the old days where you didn't have it televised or anything like that. He could have sat in the comfort of his home and not be caught. But we'll see if he gets caught.
Yeah, well, you know, he got used to being free, and, you know, U.S. Marshals, I work for them a lot, and similar kinds of stories, and you know, they think at some point they'll make a mistake, and at some point he'll have to call a relative, at some point he'll do something that gives him away, and maybe this is it.
Well, there's that story, and then there's the story that one of the things I do when I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:45, is I Google different news stories. And the story that came up, which was a very interesting, and it's a couple of days old, but it's the first time I'm seeing it, and it shows you the effect of what goes on when you turn something that's not political into political. And Lindsey Graham was speaking in front of a crowd. And, well, I'm going to play it for you now so you can hear it. And I'm not sure the quality. This is from CNN, but this is what happened to Lindsey Graham speaking about the vaccine. Here you go. He mentioned about taking vaccines, and it's out of control. He was booed by his own supporters. I mean, that's exactly what happens when you turn something that's not political and you make it so emotional and you bring it into the fray where even your own supporters, when you try to reason with them, just won't listen to you.
Same thing happened to former President Trump. He was jeered when he talked about vaccines. And it's taken hold among a certain small group of Americans that this vaccine somehow is evil. And I think it's baffling to most people to take a look at it. And when you really get down to it, there are people who just don't trust the science, don't trust the media, except for the certain media that they watch. And they get a very, very distorted view of reality.
All right, and let's talk about the Europe for a second. We see all those the lorries that are backed up, and things aren't being delivered. Energy bills now in the UK are going sky high. Is this a result not only because of what's going on in the world with the pandemic, but the fact of Brexit? Does Brexit contribute to this big problem?
I think less so than the fact that the world's economy is starting to fire on all cylinders again, and they are not increasing the output. OPEC and Russia have decided not to do that. So prices are going to go up, and, you know, all of us up in the northwest corner, we're going to pay more for our heating this winter. There's just no doubt about it.
Well, it's maybe we'll have a warm winter, but really, I mean, as Americans, I mean, Amazon started their Prime Day early because they know they can't deliver things like they had.
Just the backlog in shipping and all sorts of things are backed up, and you know, the fits and starts of an economy worldwide that was, you know, it's not completely shut down, really, really limited. And so getting it back up, you know, we see spikes in inflation, too much money chasing too few goods. And that's, of course, one of the arguments the Republicans make against the infrastructure spending that will just exacerbate inflation issues. And that's probably their best argument, frankly, because there may be something to that.
All right. Well, all I know is that I had a furnace replaced in my house by my landlord, real modern propane furnace, and for 3 years it's been acting up at the start of the season. Well, this season it wouldn't go at all, and unfortunately, the minute I heard what the problem was, I knew I was in for a long wait. A computer chip on the main board of this furnace has gone bad, so they have to order a new one. Well, guess what's in short supply nowadays, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, my goodness.
Those computer chips. So I've been now a week without a furnace, and it's been bad enough with temperatures in the 40s, but I'm not going to call the person who's going to fix it because it's not his fault. But these are things Americans are going to have to get used to once again, that, you know what, same day or overnight delivery, just is, if things keep going like this, Americans are going to have to get used to going back to the old days.
Well, yes. Well, we're just so dependent on computer chips, and as you know, it's shut down production of automobiles in this country. You don't have enough of them, and you know, you get down to it. What is a computer chip? A few, you know, sort of rare minerals that are absolutely essential, and that's part of it. And you know, the world is fighting for control of those rare minerals, found in places like Africa and Afghanistan, and. You know, there's a story to be told there, and a really good battle for who's going to control it. Will it be us? Will it be the Chinese or the Russians? That's right. You know, whoever controls it in the end will control a lot about the economy.
All right. Well, that's a nice thought to go into next week with.
Finally, let me ask you one question. It's a 3 a.m. You're awake at 3 a.m. What about all the coyotes? At least I hear where I am up on Sharon Mountain.
I'm so used to them now because my dogs are used to it. I have cameras around. The coyotes stroll through my backyard probably every other night. And it's funny because it's a timing thing. Where rabbits and small cats and stuff like that also go through the backyard, but at a completely different time. So the coyotes have to adjust their clock if they're looking for food at my house.
And they're out there. I will keep your dog inside.
You know? Oh, yeah. I keep my dog inside and my cat's inside, and the dog's always on a leash because I live in the wilderness. All right, Brian.
Well, you brought us out of the wilderness. We always appreciate your thoughts, and you bring a nice intellectual level to a morning radio show.
All right. Thank you, Brian. We'll speak to you next week.
Fantastic. Bye-bye.
Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio.